We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to the 8th chapter in Shaar HaDaat, and our learning tonight was dedicated in honor of Yom Dvorah. Her husband has tremendous appreciation that she sends him out here to learn Torah, and she takes care of all things that need taken care of in order for him to be here. Hashem should bless the two of them, and the Shechina should always be found in their home. Tranquility and joy should be steady in their home. The Magid Midovna says, "V'li ma yakru baze divrei Elihu ben Berachel." And in this concept where he says that people sometimes err because they think they could figure everything out, they could have all the answers. So he says, it's good to try and understand, but to understand that your understanding is limited. And our observance of Torah cannot be contingent on our understanding. And he says, in this regard, I cherish the words of Elihu ben Barachel, the last speaker in the book of Job, the young one who finally speaks up. He says, "Madu ha'ilav rivota kichol dvarav lo yane. Why have you fought him? All his words cannot be answered. Da ki mishpat ha'eved lishmo al adonav mishpatav v'chukav." I want you to know, Elihu tells him, the way the world works is that the servant has to listen. Whatever the master says are the rules. That's what you got to go by. Haynu lo zot levad asher yishma el advarim asher hu mevin besichlo. Meaning, the servant doesn't only have to obey the things he understands. No, it doesn't only work that way. Yeshram etikunam. There are things that he understands the logic. He understands why they make sense, and that's easy to obey. Rakulamud lishmo gam el davar asher titzilena oznei hashomea. But the servant has to know that he must listen, even when he's told to do something that makes his ears pop. Liot mitnaged el sechel. Seems to him that what he's being told is illogical. Ve'evid bachnat ruchol. But a servant, being that he is in servitude, he's supposed to have a humble spirit. Yemer lasoto bizrizut. Nonetheless, if that's what he was told to do, that's what he should do with alacrity. Hen zechelek adam elokim. This is our portion from God. We are obligated to listen to the mitzvahs, not only those that we understand, but also the statutes which the human mind, the human eye, does not understand why it makes sense. Why can't I wear wool and linen together? I got an email from a guy who can't understand why the Torah says it's okay for a guy to marry his niece. In his mind, it's a problem. Okay, in his mind, the Torah says it's perfectly fine. Might not be a good idea genetically, but halachically there's no problem. You can't marry an aunt, but you could marry a niece. He asked me what the difference is. I don't know what the difference is. But that's what the Torah says. It says a person can marry his niece and can't marry his aunt. Ve'av gam zot livlom pe v'lashon shelo lishol mazeh v'an mazeh. A person also says to know when it's time to be quiet. We can't question God and say, okay, now explain this one to me. Explain that one to me. That's what Eov did. Eov says, God, I don't understand. And Elihu tells him, right, you don't understand, right. You're not going to understand everything. We don't have all the answers. We try to understand, but we don't understand everything. So some things, if we learn more, we'll understand better. And other things, we won't understand. Shlomo HaMelech also said, "Amalti echkam avir chokam imeni." I thought I'd be very smart. I'd figure everything out. And I realize it's beyond me. The smartest man says he couldn't figure everything out. There were things he couldn't understand in the Torah. Mashal liyishchai liskil mod ba'avodato. And if we could go back a step, this guy sent me a whole list of questions he has about what is and isn't moral in the Torah's eyes. So I wrote him back. I said, you know, the first question you have to ask is the question that God posed when he offered the Torah. Do you want the Torah? And if your answer is, wait a second, what's in it? What you're saying is, I know as well as God. I'm going to decide what's moral and what's not moral. What's fair, what's not fair, what's right, what's not right. Okay, then you're deciding. Then you can invent whatever religion you want. If you're coming to the Torah and you recognize, hey, if God said so, then he knows something I don't know, right? At least something, right? Probably more. Well, then that's the approach the Jewish people took. They said, Naseh v'nishma. We will do and we will obey. Whatever you say, God. The other nations started asking, well, what does it say? So God says, okay, if that's your question, I'll give you the mitzvahs that will make the least sense to you, that will be most contradictory with your way of life. If you're going to start questioning me, you're saying it's contingent on your understanding, okay, you're trying to fit me into your box, that's not Torah. Torah means we fit ourselves into God's box. We make ourselves fit. We don't make the Torah fit into our box. And that's a world of a difference. So I said, before we address all your questions, happens to be, I guess he found some internet site that misrepresented a lot of Gemaras about what may and may not happen. who may marry whom and what relationships are permitted and forbidden. And it's a misquote of many, many Gemaros. But it doesn't matter. Even if the Gemara did say that, fine. So he doesn't understand it, fine. So he doesn't understand it. That you got to live with that. There are a lot of things we don't understand. But at the end of the day, that's the way it is. So some people don't understand. I'm one of them. Why in the Holy of Holies there's a figurine of an angel, a male angel and a female angel, and they're united. So yes, we have this concept that that's holiness. On some level, we could understand it. Do I really understand it? No. I don't. Some big people can understand it, so I take it that God says that's what's right, so that's what's right. Do I understand it any better than that? No, I don't. But okay, I don't. You can live with the question. I didn't say so. God said so. God said, make me two angels of solid gold, of this figurine, and then this is what's in the Holy of Holies. We don't worship those angels. And yet God says that's the way it should be. Do we understand it? No. Maybe you understand it. I don't understand it. So we say the male and the female represent Israel and God, and a whole bunch of answers. Okay, at the end of the day, I still don't understand. I could say all the answers. I still don't understand. There are a lot of things we don't understand. So that's what he's saying. He begins the chapter by saying, stay away from the logic of the philosophers. And then he softens it and he explains. You could try to understand, but you have to realize that your understanding is limited. And the Torah has to be, I'm doing what God said, irrespective of whether I understand it or not. What's this? Similar to a man who was very successful in his work, and whatever his boss said, he did with alacrity. But everything he did, he would ask him, why? Why should I do this? I once had a guy who we had a project, we hired him, and he was an excellent worker. He did everything great. But this was exactly what he did. Every job he got, he'd ask why. He had to understand. Which is fine, but we never hired him again. Because he can't explain. If the guy's hired to do a job, A, B, or C, he has to understand that you can't spend your time always explaining why you're doing things. So that's fine. We're still good friends. But I wouldn't hire him again. Because you can't work that way. So this guy, Vum Shivon, every time the boss tells him what the reason behind it is, and he likes it, and he goes and does it. One time, this worker meets up with a general who starts beating him up. He's bleeding bloody murder, and he did nothing wrong. And the poor worker says, what did I do wrong? And the general doesn't answer him, just keeps beating him. And he kept doing that. And this poor fellow, he was more bothered with the question, hey, wait a second, why are you beating me? What did I ever do to you? That bothered him more. It bothered him more than the afflictions, than the punches he was getting. One time he met up with a smart man. So he asked this wise man, tell me, could you explain to me why what happened there? So the wise man said, "Da'achi, I want to explain to you, brother. Your actions, tovim unchochim be'enei adonecha. Your boss really likes what you do. You never did anything short of what he asked. You always did exactly what he asked. But you always have to understand before you do. But when the boss says, look, we got to get A done, or B done, or C done, you're never willing to do it without understanding. And your boss wants to get you to the point where you understand that you got to do whatever he tells you. And not to always ask him, hey, wait a second, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Like a trusted servant who doesn't keep questioning his teacher. And the only way he could get you to learn this was by doing something that really wouldn't make sense to you. And you're going to keep asking, hey, why is this happening? And you won't get an answer. And it'll keep happening until you'll be forced to swallow it. Now take a look. Nothing was as bad by you as the fact that you kept getting beaten up. And you see, he couldn't explain to you. because then you defeat the whole purpose. Hanimshal. So what's the idea behind all of this? Iyov yashalem b'masav im Hashem lekeim mitzvotav. Iyov was a whole man. He performed all the mitzvahs. Aval rak achar shel skil ve'evin ve'avu lo kol ma'asav. But only after he understood and everything made sense to him. Aval zot lo lumad la'tzdik et Adonai itbarach b'davar asher uzar b'einav. But Iyov couldn't accept that whatever Hashem does, even if he doesn't understand it, even if it contradicts his understanding, that's also okay. Then and there's nothing worse to a person than suddenly being afflicted by the boss who he was so faithful to. Here, Iyov did everything he thought God wanted of him. And what's he getting in return? Suddenly everything's turning sour. He is suffering. That was the whole point. That Iyov will undergo that period where everything goes wrong. He's suffering as much as a human being can suffer. And he keeps asking, wait, but I don't understand. That's exactly the point, Iyov. Until today, you were a very righteous person. But it was always contingent on your understanding. Ada shayile me'elav. Iyov had to be brought to a point where Iyov gives up. And he says, I don't understand you, God. I just don't understand. Right, that's exactly the point. Iyov will find himself suffering and be silenced. He'll have nothing left to say. He'll say, it just doesn't make sense. That's what Elihu tells him. In short line, he says, "En zot lo tzedakta einecha." Ritzono lomar what Elihu was saying, "Ki lo yirgalta atzmecha latzdik tochav." You're not accustomed to saying, whatever God does, I know it's right. I don't understand it, but I know it's right. That's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu has a million questions he could ask God. Everything does not make sense to him. Everything turns around. Everything doesn't seem to work. And he doesn't ask. He says, I don't understand God's ways. He doesn't have answers. But he also doesn't ask. He works with the realization that he knows what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. אחרי ראותך אותם מתנגדים להשכלתך ובינתך. You're not accustomed to accepting things if they are not logical to you. And how did you forget that God understands things that you don't understand? But you should have the capacity to understand that our Master, God, is bigger than you. His understanding is limitless. How limitless are his actions, and his ways are much greater than our understanding. Why do you fight him? He won't answer you about his way of doing things. Meaning Elihu was telling him, the whole purpose of what you're undergoing, Iyov, is exactly that you don't understand. You're standing here wailing, but God, I don't understand. That's the whole book of Iyov. He's explaining why it doesn't make sense to me, and he's right. As we were learning the book of Iyov, we consistently pointed out that Iyov wins every argument. Iyov's right. He's right. It doesn't make sense. The book begins by saying it. He doesn't deserve it. So all his friends are saying, you might deserve it because of this or that or the other thing. But the book says at the onset that in heaven they said he doesn't deserve it. And yet he suffers. And that's exactly the point Elihu tells him. You don't understand. You were observing mitzvot, everything around your own intellect. Can't be that way. Can't be that I only observe so long as it makes sense. The second it doesn't make sense, I'm not doing. So Hashem had to bring you to a point where you're faced with the worst situation that does not make sense to you. You don't understand. And yet, suddenly, wait a second, what are you going to say? Yeah.
So therefore, can we compare that, is this a problem? Of course it's a problem. Can we compare it directly to when a person does a mitzvah? Not really because it stems from Zahabad or Yad Hashem. It's a mitzvah.
I didn't hear, I'm sorry.
I'm saying that, can we compare these? Because you're saying that Yogi was performing mitzvah because it was his intellectual part, so he couldn't understand what he was doing. So can we compare these to the situation of someone that gets used to a certain kind of mitzvah, and he doesn't think about Kavanah, he doesn't think about anything. He does because it's mitzvah, he doesn't care if it's Sabbat Hashem or Yad Hashem. He does mitzvah because it's mitzvah. He must do it, of course.
It's similar. It's at the end of the day, these are high levels, you know, where each person in his realm has to work on this. This isn't when we speak about Eov so easily, we're talking about a person who's much bigger than we are. Yeah.
What you said in the beginning when you started to speak about Eov, it's like you said something about, you tell us something that is not written in the book of Eov. You tell us that actually there was something that Eov had to learn.
Right. And he claims that that's the answer of Elihu. He's saying that that's what Elihu was telling Eov.
Yeah, but that's not what Elihu meant.
He says that's what he meant. That's not the way I learned what Elihu says, but that's how he's learning what Elihu says.
No, but you said that I understand it in a way like everything what he did was right until the moment he started to suffer. Because then it showed that we only had one way of understanding, not the way of understanding that we can't understand anything.
Okay. Why? What are you saying that's different than what he's saying?
I'm not saying it's different. It's just something that we need to learn out of. Right?
I think so. I think that's what he's saying. Meaning, you're taking it a step beyond where he's taking it. Mm-hmm. He's saying, what was God's purpose from the beginning? You're saying, what do we learn from the outcome? You're taking two sides of the same story.
Okay, but Hashem doesn't say as an introduction
right. What
he's trying to do here.
So that's a good question. That's something we have to analyze. What does Hashem say in the beginning of the book and at the end of the book? Meaning, what is this whole concept in the beginning of the book that the Satan can come and say a claim against the man who doesn't deserve anything bad? So that's the question. How do we understand that? And then there's the question, how do we understand Hashem's final answer to Eov, in which Hashem basically says, you don't understand anything. So, fine, you don't understand anything, but what's the answer? Then okay, at the end of it all, then we don't understand. So that's the answer, we don't understand? But then is that the whole conclusion of the book of Eov? You don't understand, and that so be it? That's the question. So he's giving a different twist on what's going on here. He's making it all into this is what Eov had to learn. It's not only what we have to learn, but that was the whole point of what Eov underwent. That's what he's saying. Now, obviously, Eov has to be a very, very big person, that in Shemayim they have conversation about him, and Satan focuses about him, and God says, have you noticed in all of humanity there's one man named Eov? And Satan says, but wait. So maybe we have to remember that if Eov stood out in all humanity, that on the day of judgment, Hashem says, I have one tzaddik on planet Earth named Eov. And the Satan says, well, something's missing there. And the Satan isn't necessarily a bad angel. The Satan is there to help challenge us to grow in this world. So then perhaps this isn't so far from the way we understand Eov. That this is the point that Eov also had to learn. Eov was perfect but for this point. Maybe. But that's his understanding, right? That this is really what's happening in the beginning of the book, even though that's not the way we read it. And he doesn't bring psukim to support it from the beginning of the book. His psukim are from the end of the book, in the final answer of Elihu. Okay, I don't know. V'ata blom picha v'kabel hakol b'ter chok. So you have to be quiet and accept this as a statute. V'gam ki od li dvarim b'ze shmurim em li lichtov otam b'sefer ol Yaakov v'ashat ekev. He says, I still have a lot to say about this idea, but I'm holding on to those thoughts till I write my commentary on the Torah on Parshas Ekev, kasher yazreni amchei chayim b'rachamav. God should help me. There's still more to be said on this thought. We have the book, Ol Yaakov. So open it to Parshas Ekev, and he says we'll discuss it there. And that brings us to the conclusion of the eighth chapter.